Carl, welcome to the show. If it's Thursday night, it's time for Race Trackers. Another huge week in racing. Last week it was Dubai and Florida and the Final Four. This week, Keeneland, Aqueduct, and Santa Anita. I'm Bill Gottemer with my co-host Bob Santamez. As you know, each week we try to capture what has transpired in the racing world and bring new information to our listeners. Please spread the word about how much fun we have here each Thursday night. Hello, Bob.
Bill, how are you?
Fine, thanks. Big week last week and a lot of things to talk about. And thank you for we're doing the show a little earlier tonight. We may even have a truncated version of it considering I'm traveling. But we thank all our listeners for listening in, and I thank you for making the time to change the time tonight.
It's okay. There's a lot going on this weekend and a lot that went on last weekend, so it's good to catch up.
Really? Well, let's start right with it. Last weekend, I guess we spoke a little bit on the show about Thunder Snow and whether or not he would get redemption for his bad performance
right.
or bizarre performance in the Kentucky Derby, and he sure did. He wired that field, never looked back, looked much the best in the Dubai World Cup.
We thought he had a chance when we discussed last week. If anyone was going to beat West Coast, we thought he was one of the likely candidates. Dubai races last Saturday morning. Was there kind of a speed bias to the track over the course of on the dirt track over the course of the day?
Yes, there was a very serious speed bias, and more to the point, an inside bias in the World Cup
right.
of dirt on the Dubai surface. And it seems like anybody other than XY Jet, who we'll speak to in a minute, who got to the front managed to hold on. So for
right.
that reason, and you know we love Javier Castellano, he's a good friend of the show, and he's the best rider there is. But there was some criticism of him having West Coast sit off of Thunder Snow and run a little bit outside in the early part of the race because there seemed to be such a bias on the inside. So I would definitely say that most trip handicappers and bias handicappers would think that Thunder Snow's performance was aided by an inside speed bias.
Yeah, what will be interesting now is will they bring Thunder Snow to the States later this year, you know, for some of the big handicap races over the summer, or wait and perhaps for the Breeders' Cup Classic. But this has always been a horse, I think, the ownership in the Middle East has always been very high on. Right, they did try him in the Kentucky Derby. It ended up being a somewhat of a disaster for them, but he has shown an affinity for the Maidan track and surface, and he showed it last Saturday. And listen, if you were willing to kind of look past West Coast, you've got a nice return of $22 for your play on Thunder Snow.
Right, and West Coast. West Coast ran on strongly to be second. West Coast,
yes,
you know, hung in there and saved the exacta for exacta players, but really it was no contest. Thunder Snow was much the best from the outset. I think Javier Castellano thought West Coast could tackle him whenever he wanted, but Thunder Snow had other ideas and just continued on. So kudos, good job by them. Having a race over the track and finding the right place and winning a $10 million race. And, no shame for West Coast. We'll see how much it takes out of him and, you know, come back to the States.
No, I still think he confirms himself as the best handicap horse in training here in the United States. And, you know, we'll see how it progresses over, you know, whether Baffert keeps him in California or does he look to run in, if not the Met Mile, the Foster, and perhaps the Whitney at Saratoga.
Right. You know, we'll see. We'll see. And I think, Bob Baffert has brought enough horses back and they've done well. Although some would say arrogant, you know, lost a step after he came back from Dubai. We'll have to see. Well, it'll be interesting as it plays out.
Yep.
Continuing with the Dubai theme, as I spoke about before, XY Jet outran Roy H., sat off a fast pace set by a long shot, took a lead at the top of the stretch and looked like he was home, only to be run down by New York-bred Mind Your Biscuits, who won in Dubai for the second straight year, for Chad
yes.
Summers. And you know, just that was probably the most impressive performance of the afternoon in a lot of respects, because he overcame the outside, the speed bias, and looked beaten. And under Joel Rosario, with his typical late running style, ran down XY Jet in a heartbreaker for the connections of XY Jet a second time, and just really a tremendous race.
And I guess no surprise, Bill, that in a dirt sprint race, the top three finishes were all from the U.S., which, you know, is where usually the best sprinters reside. If you go year in, year out, looking at the Breeders' Cup sprint, et cetera. But listen, two wins in Dubai, great for those connections. XY Jet showed he could take his form from Florida to Dubai and ran a very game race, but just a terrific win for the connections of Mind Your Biscuits.
Right. And another amazing thing for the New York Bred program. Sticking
yes.
with the New York Bred program, you know, we go to Florida, and there was a lot to talk about in Florida. I don't know if we have the time to talk about everything, but the most important thing was the Florida Derby, and Audible for Todd Pletcher appeared to be much the best. He's a New York Bred himself, although an expensive one. And he was an easy winner and benefited by a major pace meltdown. And that was something that I guess was foreseeable for people who are trip handicappers. And we discussed it a little bit on the show. But I don't know if anyone expected the pace meltdown to be as severe as it was.
We had discussed on the show last week what this scenario might be. And listen, what I'm going to say falls firmly in the category of sour grapes, because I like Strike Power. And I thought, A, with the inside post, he would get to the lead. And I guess, B, that the connections of Promises Fulfilled would be looking at kind of the bigger picture here, i.e. the Kentucky Derby, and might want to sit off a horse that was going to be breaking from the rail and making a lead. But I guess the instructions to Robbie Alborado were get to the front no matter what. And as I kind of texted to you on Saturday or Sunday, it looks like they were prepping for the Breeders' Cup sprint as opposed to the Derby, because they went out in 21 and change. As you can imagine, both of them had to stop, setting it up for what's probably the second or third choice in the Derby right now, Audible, who just looked terrific. And, you know, closed into what was a crazy pace. What I will add about the race, Bill, I thought, you know, the horse that ran third, which was your selection, Mississippi, was fairly close to that really wild pace and held on admirably. So, again, Mississippi might be one. I don't know if he's even going to run in the Derby, but he might be one to track going forward off of that race, because he, of the ones that were within hailing distance of the first two, he finished okay. And I think, you know, with Mark Cassie, may have, if not the Derby, a real significant future as the year develops.
Well, I mean, among the things that I was worried about, being too close under Julian Lepereux as a rider was not one of them. Julian Lepereux,
yeah.
He's known for, if anything, waiting too long. He's extremely patient and can be frustrating on that side. I my mouth was agape when I saw him, you know, two lengths off of that suicidal pace up front. And it's not at all what I expected. What I expected and hoped for was the trip that Bill Mott's horse Hopberg got,
right,
come from way off it and have a pace meltdown and pick up the pieces. So I what's the saying? You know, right pew, wrong church. It went the way I expected, but my horse was too close, and I didn't expect that at all. It's hard to gauge how impressive Audible was, because everything came his way. He was certainly the best. I've seen some speed handicappers say that, you know, he finished up slowly, but I don't know. I'll have to watch it again. You know, that he finished up slowly and he wasn't impressive, and they're not looking forward to him getting that extra eighth of a mile. I don't know. He ran the race that you needed to run there. The suicidal pace duel, I thought both of those horses who were on the lead were somewhat distanced Chow and just are questionable at the distance. Certainly going that fast didn't help. As you said, both riders must have been riding to instructions because both of them are veteran riders and they wouldn't take it upon themselves to do that. And it's just, it was kind of a good old fashioned race where there was a pace meltdown and you could see it coming, you know? So I guess I don't know what to make of it. You know, Audible is clearly loves Florida and we'll see whether or not he can translate his form outside Florida to Kentucky and whether he can get the extra eighth of a mile. I guess as far as where he'll fall in the betting, a lot depends on obviously what happens this week. One horse we forgot to speak about in Dubai who was uber impressive was Mendelsohn. Mendelsohn making his first start on the dirt in Dubai, a half brother to Beholder, or maybe even a full brother. I have to check that. Ran off the screen and won by 15, 17 lengths and really a tour de force. So, you know, I think Mendelsohn coming from Dubai to Kentucky Derby off of that effort with very fast figures and very fast numbers will get a lot of support in the U.S. And you know, probably will probably be a major factor given his breeding.
Mendelsohn right now, Bill, is the 5-1 favorite in Vegas for the Derby. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next couple of weeks as they get ready for the run for the roses. I guess the question is, does he get that really nice, relaxing pace scenario that he kind of galloped into in Dubai? And you know, that's going to be the question. It's going to be a much, much different race. But listen, anytime you run off and win by 18 lengths, and I think he ran a huge number as well. I think it was, you know, the buyer was in excess of 100. You know, you've got to take him seriously. It's just that it's going to be a different environment for him in Kentucky. But again, he's getting the respect now in Vegas. He's 5-1. So it does add a very, very interesting feature to what will develop at Churchill in the Derby.
Really? Well, Bob, I guess I'm hoping, we're having some technical difficulties here. I'm hoping this is actually going out. I think it's being recorded. I hope so. We may be speaking only to ourselves, but we'll work on it as I try to make sure I get an internet connection. If anybody is listening live, I hope they let us know. I guess what we should speak about too is Also Dreaming. You know, Also Dreaming ran on the undercard of the Florida Derby, and ran better than I thought. Maybe it was a little disappointing to some, but I thought his behavior was better, and I thought he looked better, and going to the gate was better. So a lot of things to like about that. It was his first race back, which is, you know, always questionable about how well they'll come back. What were your thoughts?
I did like Always Dreaming going into the race. I was a little disappointed in the price, but again, that's Derby winner Pletcher Velasquez. So, you know, that's going to draw money, particularly on a big day when you have a lot of tourist money at the racetrack. I thought he ran well. I just thought, in my mind, I had expected Always Dreaming to tactically run the race that Conquest Big E ran. But he ran fine. It was a good, solid second. I'm going to guess it likely sets him up for the Met Mile, you know, in early June. But his race was fine. As you say, he behaved better. He just, you know, the winner got off lone speed, manageable fractions, and wasn't going to get caught that day. And Conquest Biggie does like Gulfstream. So a good effort. Does he move forward? We'll see. And I guess Irish War Choir, man, he's so in and out. He can be such a nice horse, and then you expect him to run huge, and he throws on a little bit of a clunker. So a little disappointing there. I'm sure he'll be back. But a solid effort by Always Dreaming, as you highlighted.
Yeah, I think Graham Motion was quoted as saying that, you know, he still sees the talent, and he still sees that beautiful talent in Irish war cry, and he's determined to show it to the world. So he's generally pretty understated, but he was pretty emphatic that he doesn't really know why he's not showing in the afternoon, but that he still has that talent, and he expects that to continue, and there's no plans. It doesn't sound like there are any plans to retire him or anything of the like. So interesting there. I'm still struggling a little bit, Bob, here with this, and I hope it is going out. It seems like it is, but for some reason I'm being told I have no internet service. One of the problems of being on the road. I guess we can move from last week to this week, and I guess we'd be remiss if we didn't congratulate Villanova on their Final Four victory, right? As professionally a performance as you could ever imagine, right?
Well, listen, as I said last week, I have two children and a son-in-law who attended the school, so we've become big fans. And I've watched most of their games over this past year. And, Bill, when that team was fully healthy, they lost one game this year. So it was no surprise to me that they rolled through Kansas and Michigan. And they were clearly the best team, and they play a really really attractive style of basketball where they share the basketball and they run the floor well, and there's no one guy that really dominates the action. So a great win for the Villanova Wildcats and Jay Wright, and for all those Nova Nation that my kids call it, a really good win for them.
What was really interesting, I thought, was how Kansas never changed their defense and double team the whole time, and Villanova took advantage of that and hit open threes throughout the night. Conversely, Michigan never double teamed. Michigan played straight up man to man, and Villanova responded by doing what you're supposed to do, which is drive the lane and go right at people one on one. And I just thought it was really a disciplined and professional, and they're not the most physically imposing team you've ever seen, but they certainly know their role. They space the floor right, and they do everything right. And congratulations to them. And if your family's like most Villanova families, they're already talking about next year. So I know the parade is going on sometime today, looking forward to next year. I'm going to continue on here, and I can't figure out why I'm not getting internet service, but I think it's being taped, which I'm hopeful works when it goes out later on. Bob, let's talk about this week. Let's start. I think if we probably should start with New York, right? I mean, that's where we normally start. A beautiful card, a good card. I want to start with Friday, though. Friday there's a race in the distaff, and it's an eighth race. And Divine Miss Gray is a really nice horse for Danny Goggin. And I think Divine Miss Gray would be a nice play on Friday to get your weekend started off. And nothing to write home about price-wise, but she's a really fast horse. She's really good. And I would hope that she'll start the week off the weekend off the way we'd like. I don't know if you've seen her run, but she's got all sorts of talent.
Listen, she's like... I did not look at the race. In fact, I'm just looking at it now. She's ultra consistent. You have to like the turn back from a mile to seven. Does Highway Star compete? I mean, I don't know what happened to her last race, but this is odd. I see Graham Motion has burned in this race. And I actually had circled burned as a long shot possibility in the Madison on Saturday at Keeneland, which we'll get to in a couple of minutes. But it's this is a solid race, and Divine Miss Gray, I think you're right, Bill, likely adds to her winning streak here of three in a row with Kendra Carmouche.
Yeah, she's just a nice horse, and she has an affinity for that racetrack, and I guess there's more than wouldn't be surprised at all to see her continue that streak and run so well. That takes us to Saturday, and two things on Saturday. I think the big thing on Saturday that's going to be determinant of a lot of things is going to be the weather. The weather in Lexington, Kentucky is going to be extremely cold. I think they're talking about a high of 36 and a low of 18. So I'm glad we're going next week, not this week. I'll say that rather assuredly, right?
Yes.
And with that, I think they've already determined that they're going to either delay first post or not allow people to enter the hill area earlier in the day because they have to be busy cleaning off what they expect to be snowfall. So,
right.
You know, I'd be shocked if they canceled because they're not going to cancel the opening Saturday, Bluegrass Saturday. But on the other hand, it may not be indicative of what we expect. I guess that the big horse to watch in the Bluegrass and I guess, well, should we speak, start, go down the card or should we go straight to the Bluegrass? I guess let's go down the card.
Whichever you like.
The Saturday card at Keeneland. So we'll start there. I think the sixth race, the Commonwealth at Keeneland on Saturday, is a sprint, and Limousine Liberal is a horse who comes to mind. Limousine Liberal is a horse that loves Kentucky. His record in Kentucky is astounding. His record outside Kentucky leaves a lot to be desired. They skipped last year's Breeders' Cup sprint with the stated intention of winning this year's Breeders' Cup sprint, which is in Kentucky. So this is Limousine Liberal's beginning of his sprint championship campaign leading to the Breeders' Cup sprint. And as I say, he loves that racetrack, and you tend to get a decent price on him. So I would look at Limousine Liberal in the sixth race at Saturday at Keeneland. I don't know if you had an opportunity to look at it. I know
I did look. No, I did look at the race. Limousine Liberal is as hard-knocking as he comes. I'll say this. I wouldn't even call this a criticism. You know, his speed numbers are not overwhelming. But listen, he's 7 for 19 lifetime, and you can't argue with that. If I was going to play here, Bill, I might try to beat him only because he's coming off the rather long layoff. I do like to look for, particularly in 7 furlong races, horses that are turning back. And I kind of settled on Mark Cassie's First Premio, way on the outside. I will caution, every selection that I looked at for Keeneland, I went prior to realizing the weather's going to be really bad down there. So these are not off-track selections or snowy predictions or whatever. But I might try first. I'm a big fan of Tyler Gaffleone. Mark Cassie speaks for himself. This horse has run credibly at a sprint distance in the past, is coming off the mine shaft. We did not run a bad race, was a little wide. And if I'm trying to beat the favorite, I might try to beat him with the 10 first premio. But Limousine Liberal will be tough to beat.
Good. Right. Well, we'll put you down for that. Limousine Liberal, I guess I'm looking at Keeneland, is 5 starts, 1 win, 1 second, 2/3. I think his record at Churchill may even be better. But he's 6
right.
to 5. There's no bargain there. Now, one thing I would add is he loves an off-track. He's by successful appeal who's
yeah.
by valid appeal, and that's a name out of the past. For our younger
yeah.
listeners, breeding-wise, anybody who was sired by valid appeal just really moved up in the wet. And the same
yeah.
thing you said for successful appeal, and I guess he's shown it with two wins over two starts on a solid
yes.
track. So that, if anything, that only plays into his strength.
Oh, Bill,
a little
even
bit
on,
further.
Even on the dam side, in excess liked an off track, so you're gonna get it on both sides.
Right. So I mean, it remains to be seen whether it'll be wet or whether it'll just be cold. Well, cold and wet, you know. The Shakerstown, the seventh race at Keeneland, 5.5 furlongs, just a sprint, grass sprint, always a great race every year. And again, just without a full handicapping review, I'm leaning towards Commend for Bill Mott. And the horse always seems to fire, even though it's only had 3 starts and only been second, has a second at Keeneland. It always seems to aim for this race, always seems to have something go wrong. And I guess this is no different this year. I guess they're trying to win this race here. And he has not been showing his best form recently, but I think there's a lot of talent there. And Jose Ortiz and Bill Mott, I'm going to take a shot at them at 12-1. But I wouldn't be upset with anybody who disagreed with me on that.
Yeah, Bill, I look very, very quickly here. And if I was going to play, I might go to a horse that I liked up at Saratoga last summer, Loose on the Town, with Brian Lynch and Louis Saez. You might get a decent price, can close into pace. But that's really a very, very quick look at this thing. I wouldn't even put a lot of credence in it. But I do like Loose on the Town. I did like him last year a great deal. And I think he fits with this field.
Staying with the theme, and I guess I see Disco Partner is in that race too. I hadn't even realized that Disco Partner is as fast as anybody. It's hard to go past him. Being beached on the 13 post is tough, and we'll see whether or not they scratch from out there and decide to run somewhere else. Sticking with the theme of horses who like Kentucky and like this race, the Madison. The eighth race of Keeneland, you have Lewis Bay for Chad Brown, who disappointed last time. Seems to be a little bit of she's a light mare, so she spaces her races pretty well. Seems to have all the talent. Will probably take a lot of money. And as you mentioned, the aforementioned Burns, who's also entered at Aqueduct, it'll be interesting to see where he goes. But the horse I'm looking for is Amiz Mesa, who again has 6-10 lifetime. She's a 5-year-old mare, and she was really good last year, and they put her away in November. And now she comes back as a 5-year-old. We'll see whether she's ready to go first time out. But I think she's probably an underrated mare for Josie Carroll.
Yeah, Bill, I thought the Madison was the best betting race of the whole weekend. I mean, it's an excellent field. You can go in a number of different directions. I landed on the 3 Salty for Mark Cassie, and again, Gaffleone, who I'm a big fan of. This filly last year was knocking heads with the best in her division. Some good races to Abel Tasman, Elate, It Tis Well. Gets a rest from Cassie, comes back the 1st of March, going one turn mile at Gulfstream, wins pretty handily, cuts back to 7, and I think might be very working well. I think could be a pretty decent price here. I think there's enough speed to close into here. I think it's the best race of the weekend, and this is my top selection of the weekend. Salty, the 3, in the 8th race, the Madison at Keeneland.
Okay, so the 3-year-old last year, making her 4-year-old debut and stepping into the older filly and mare bunch. You're gonna get a square price there, no doubt about it. And as you said, just a tremendous race. So we'll put you down for Salty. The Keeneland 9th race is the Central Bank Ashland, but really it's the Ashland. It's a grade one. It's a mile of 16th, and it's the number one Kentucky pro prep for the Kentucky Oaks. And I think the pro tem leader of that division, Monomoy Girl, is 4-5 from the rail with Ferrant Giroux. And this is where they've opted to go to prep her for the Kentucky Oaks. They left Fairgrounds. She's done nothing wrong. She's 4-5 with a second by a neck. She's a neck away from being undefeated. And I guess for Brad Cox, we'll see how good she is. I think she, by all accounts now, I think she is the leader. Coach Rox's win for West Point in the Florida Oaks, notwithstanding, last Saturday. And I think if you see her handle this field, I think she'll be the favorite for the Kentucky Oaks.
Yeah, I don't know if you can go much beyond her in this race, and I agree with you. She is the light. I haven't really focused on the California 3-year-old fillies, and shame on me. But I think she's the likely favorite for Oaks Friday at Churchill.
Yeah, I mean, there's the Santa Anita Oaks will be run on Saturday as well, so we'll get some feeling out of there. But the leader on the West Coast was Dream Tree, and she's injured and she's out. So
right.
I think for the most part, the you know we'll see how Monomoy Girl does. She's drawn the rail. She's working bullets. She's done no wrong. And one last time, even after a bit of a troubled trip, not showing her usual early speed, she hit the gate coming out and didn't show her usual speed. So she showed another dimension, and we'll see how good she is. And well, I think if she has a victory here, she'll be the favorite in the Oaks. Continuing on the Bluegrass, you know, the Bluegrass is the Kentucky prep for the Kentucky Derby. It's much more important now that it's back on main dirt. Keeneland, a number of years ago, went away from the poly track, so it matters again. There's a couple of horses in here, and the most well-known name would be Good Magic, who disappointed so badly, I thought, in his three-year-old debut, but was a two-year-old champion for Chad Brown. Beached way on the outside, post 11. I wasn't as impressed by Good Magic's return as some other people were. I don't know what you thought.
I think he deserves another shot, for sure. Again, if the objective is May, who knows how tightly screwed he was on March 3rd. The works since have been better than fine. You know, to me, it's just you want to take 2-1 on this horse. That's all. But I can certainly forgive what was a, you know, promises fulfilled in Strike Power were basically 1-2 around the whole track. Maybe there's a little bias aid there. I'm certainly willing to give this two-year-old champion another chance here. Again, who knows what the condition of the racetrack will be. I won't bet him at 2-1. My selection will be elsewhere, but I do expect the 11 to run much better this Saturday.
Yeah, I thought he ran in spots, and I thought he did that as a two-year-old too. And his win in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile notwithstanding, I didn't think he was quite as talented as some other people did. So, you know, time will tell, and we'll see. That leaves us with some other horses to take a look at. And the horse that you liked, who won down at Tampa Bay, Quip, seems to be the one that probably is not getting the respect that he deserves, again, for Florent Giroux. Some lesser known connections, but really talented people. And this is Windstar and China Horse Club and Quip ran huge in Tampa and, you know, probably deserves to be more respected than he's getting right now.
While I was very happy with the result at Tampa, I think it was a bit pace aided where, Quip was tracking, the speed horse had never gone two turns before. I just don't recall the name, but I do know it was first time two turns, and they were going really very manageable fractions. And he had enough to hold off Flame Away. It was an okay number. I was there for that party. I'm not sure this party will be as successful. And I'm leaning elsewhere, Bill. And the post is no bargain here. Kizmo's got a really good chance to run big here. I've never heard of the jockey. So I'm not even sure who the rider is. But I don't think the Fountain of Youth was as bad as it looks. He was only a length or two off of Good Magic. The races prior were, you know, it was 11th Lake Victory going 6.5. Working well. Again, the post is very, very, very challenged. But if Morning Line 20-1, if you think Good Magic is beatable or you don't like the price, across the board on Machismo, if he goes anywhere near 20-1, is the play I'm going to make.
Okay. Machismo, Anthony Quartarolo, we know Anthony Quartarolo. He's training for Ron Paolucci. Radicevich rides for Ron Paolucci out in Mahoning Valley in Ohio, and so he's a rider who rides for them often. I think Machismo was thinking about going to the race that Mendelsohn won, but they had some hiccup either physically or logistically, and they decided to go here. As you said, the 13 post certainly doesn't help, but I think they have to go ahead and try it. The other horse that comes to mind here is Kim Thacker for West Point Thoroughbreds and Jerry Hollendorfer, and a lot of handicappers who I respect say that effort in the San Felipe was much better than it appeared. That even though everyone was paying attention to McKinsey and Bolt Doro, and Thacker had a tough start and really was eliminated at the beginning, and they would expect him to run better. He's opted to come east to get some presumably easier competition, and I wouldn't be surprised that he would make a late run either at 10-1. So certainly a wide open race, the Bluegrass.
Yes.
A lot will be dependent upon the weather. Free Drop Billy has almost become forgotten. He's a horse who you always expect him to do well, and he doesn't. Maybe he's just not as talented. A lot will be known by what goes on over there in Keeneland. Let's move a little bit to Aqueduct and the Aqueduct Wood card. I guess the Wood Memorial itself has fallen into as not a not as important race as it once was, which is too bad. And the undercard similarly is not quite as what it once was. But let's start a little bit with the Carter Handicap, and the Carter Handicap is the eighth race on Saturday. It's most famous for having a triple dead heat in 1944, which is
right.
Racing legend. But with that, this renewal shows a bunch of nice horses. But I guess Petrov is the invader who comes from out of town, and I guess the best horse right now and the best sprinter right now I think would be Skyler's Scramjet in New York. What are your thoughts on those two?
Bill, the field for what's usually it's the sprint that really kicks things off in New York for the year, I think, and leads to later in June. Used to be Memorial Day, now is Belmont Day. I was a little underwhelmed by this field, and for that reason, I settled on the 11 here, Awesome Slew. Only because I thought he was the clear class of this race, and I get it, he's been away since November. But if you go Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, the AC-AC is, it was a win. The Forgo is a credible race to DeFrong. Second to Mind Your Biscuits. There's nobody else in this field that's met field as successfully as Awesome Slew. Like Awesome Slew last year won the Commonwealth down Keeneland. So, other than the Met Mile last year, where More Spirit just, looked like Pegasus with wings and simply ran away from the field, this horse ran huge last year. It really did not have a bad race. This horse is anywhere close to 4-1 on making a major play. I just think he's by far the classiest horse in the race. I'm hoping he's ready. He's run well off layoffs before, and the workouts are suggesting he'll run well. So that's my selection here.
Okay. Skyler Scramjet has really come gangbusters recently, and I know Dylan Davis was very excited to ride him, and he had another call on a horse that he had to take, and he missed out on the mount on him in the Tom Fool Handicap. Trevor McCarthy gets the mount back. Green Grotto's in there who goes fast. I'm stunned that Petrov is 20-1 in the morning line. I think that's a bad line. And when you look at the horses he ran against last year, he's always a hard-hitting sprinter, and he's actually run well over this track. And I don't think he'll be 20-1, but if he is, I would clearly give him a look. But you're right; it's a weak renewal of the Carter. The ninth race, Bayshore. These are 3-year-olds going 7 furlongs, so not quite ready to go the distance. You can go a number of different ways in here. Todd Pletcher's National Flag has done nothing wrong and comes off a big win down in Florida, but against suspect competition. Engage for Chad Brown is the horse who showed all sorts of potential last year, even though he was tremendously green. It remains to be seen how he's grown up. Those two will take the bulk of the money. I guess you have to lean towards National Flag because he's already had a race as a 3-year-old. But I'm leaning towards towards sticking with the potential in Engage.
Yep, Bill. I did not look at this one. Looking quickly at, I tend to think you're correct. The only other horse I'd be very curious as Harry runs is this, and I'm gonna butcher the pronunciation. Avenue Malkinu, for Jeremiah Englehart, the New York bred. I'd be curious if he runs off the bench. He's 5-1 morning line. But I tend to think you're right on this one.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Engage didn't really, in my opinion, last year, put forth his best effort often because he was still learning how to run and in the capable hands of Chad Brown. We'll see how he goes. That brings us to Aqueduct's Wood Memorial. And the Wood Memorial, sadly, has fallen upon difficult times. This is actually a pretty good – it's a full field. I don't know how good it is. I think there's a couple of horses in here who will take money who are distance challenged, Frenzy Fire being one of them. You know I'm a big believer in Enticed. And I lean towards Enticed, of course, for Kieran McLaughlin, just a beautiful bred horse who won over the racetrack, still learning how to put it together. But the horse that we've followed here on this show for a while now is 20-1, King Zachary for Dale Romans. And King Zachary, I think, is going to be awful tough in this race.
I agree with you. I think King Zachary is definitely one of the plays here. Plan on putting him with the horse right next to him, Bob Baffert's Restoring Hope.
I'm
in no way critical or down and Enticed at all. The last effort was exceptional. I just don't see him as 6-5 in this race. And I will go in other directions to try to get a little bit more return. And I will play both the 7 and the 8 to win and in exactas. I think King Zachary's very live and is working well coming in, as is Restoring Hope. You know, we've spoken for a number of weeks that we think the strength of the 3-year-old division is in California. So that's where I'll be leaning here, the 7 King Zachary and the 8 Restoring Hope.
Okay. I'm gonna go a little bit different. I have respect for Bob Back with any horse in the 3-year-old thing, and I'll use him, I guess. But I'm going to lean pretty heavily on King Zachary over Enticed and Enticed Saver over King Zachary and try to cash a win bet on King Zachary. I think this is an opportunity. I'm skeptical that you'll get 20-1, but I think if you get it, you got to take it. So
you're right.
That being said, we're leaving out a Todd Pletcher, John Velasquez horse in a 3-year-old Derby prep. So we have to check our sanity.
Always dangerous.
But,
always dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. But we'll see. And the rest of the field, I think, are just the horses hoping to get a puncher's chance. Although I guess Old Time Revival ran well to be second to Enticed, but Enticed was much, much the best in that race. So that leads us to New York, and now it takes us out to what I think is the obviously the premier event of the weekend, and that's the Santa Anita Derby. We go out west, and Santa Anita Derby was hoped to be, or it was portrayed as to be a rematch of McKinsey and Bolt Doro after their bumping match in their prep race and the kind of controversial disqualification of McKinsey. But McKinsey is just not right. And Bob Baffert has said he's not sure why he's not right. Can't really pinpoint what's wrong with him. But not only is he off the Derby trail, McKinsey's off the entire Triple Crown trail, and they're hoping to put him back together for a fall campaign. That clears the way for Justify, the much ballyhooed non-stakes winner, who's 2-for-2 for Bob Baffert, to pick up the charge and charge Bolt Doro. And I think most people think that this is going to be a two-horse race, with Bolt Doro having a number of supporters and Justify having just as many. And it's interesting to think that Justify, even off of a maiden win and an allowance win where he wildly overmatched the field, that he looks like the 4-5 morning line favorite over Bolt Doro. And kind of interesting, you know. What are your thoughts?
I was immensely impressed with Boldoro's effort on the comeback on March 10th. He's worked absolutely lights out since. I guess the question everyone's asking, I'm not, creating any new territory here. Off of that big effort off the layoff, does he regress in the Santa Anita Derby? Justify, yeah, everything's in front of him. I think Mike Smith will be very aggressive with him early and will try to take the lead. I mean, he's also working tremendously. If I'm going to play this race, Bill, I might make us with the thought that Boldoro and Justify might hook early and that Justify's only got two races under his belt. I'm intrigued that Jerry Hollendorfer has kept instilled regard in California instead of perhaps shipping to the wood or to Arkansas next week. And he could lay off the initial speed, might sit the trip, and maybe surprises at 5-6-1. That could be a reach here because I think Boldoro will be the favorite in the Derby, and I will, assuming he doesn't completely fall apart this Saturday, I'm likely to bet Boldoro. That's how impressed I was with him in the Derby.
Okay.
But I give instilled regard a puncher's chance in the Santa Anita Derby here. Because I think Jerry Hollendorfer, he's again amongst the best in the country. He had other options here, and yet he chooses to stay in California. So that would be my kind of long shot play. I'll enjoy watching the race. I won't bet a lot here, and I'd be very curious to see how it tactically develops and how all of these horses run.
Right. Well, I have an opinion about Boldoro, which I've kept for a while now, and nothing I've seen has really dissuaded me from it, is that he's a little undisciplined. He's green. He seems to be all over the place. And I thought he was at fault, even though he was placed first in the disqualification. I thought he was at fault at the top of the stretch for bearing in. I thought he had every chance to pass McKenzie, and he didn't. I think he's a horse who looks to cause his own trouble. And I expect that to happen again on Saturday. So I expect him to either break bad or to run on the lead and bear out into Justify. And I think it would be irony of all ironies if Boldoro were to get to the wire first in this race with Justify second and be disqualified for some incident that takes place somewhere. So I've recoiled against people who are crowning Justify as a Kentucky Derby favorite off of two impressive wins, but against company that is still to be determined. That being said, Bob Baffert seems to know what he's doing, and you got Mike Smith, and I guess I'm just going to watch this one. But I wouldn't be surprised to either see Boldoro regress as you suggested off of that tough effort, or again become his own worst enemy and cost himself the race. So for that reason, I think I'd lean towards Justify. It seems like Justify has been sold to almost everyone right now, right? It seems like, I look at their ownership, it seems like they sold pieces of this horse off to everybody. Head of Plains Partners, Starlight Racing, Windstar, CHC, China Horse Club. I don't really know. This is a game that's become incestuous. It's become even more incestuous now with the same people buying into every one of the Triple Crown hopefuls. At some point, I think it's the authorities and the stewards have to kind of step in and see who is owning what, because it seems like there's a lot of cross pollination, for lack of a better word, among all these owners. And it is a little frightening, but that clearly will be the race. If either of those, I agree with you, if either of those are clear cut winners in this race, either Boldoro or Justify, they'll attract a lot of play for Kentucky as well. So I think what's coming about is it's a deep crop of 3-year-olds, and with the exception of McKenzie, who's off the trail, it seems like a lot of them have remained sound, and we're looking towards just a tremendous Triple Crown season.
Yeah, Bill, a horse as talented as Magnum Moon might be fourth or fifth choice. Could be 8-1 in the dirt.
Bob,
and
he could be 10th choice. He could be 10th choice. I mean, think of the horses who we're talking about who are going to take money. Audible's going to take money. Mendelsohn's going to take money. You know, Altoro or Justify or both are going to take money. You have
possibly Good Magic.
If Enticed wins the Wood, he's going to take money due to his breeding. So you're right. This could be a race where a lot of horses, you know, get forgotten if they all make it there, and makes for an interesting year. But then again, we find them all interesting, right? We haven't found any.
Yes.
We haven't found one yet that we didn't like. With that, I know we raced through it, and I hope our listeners appreciate that sometimes it's difficult to do it on when we're traveling. Bob, you and I are going out to Keeneland next week, and it's a good deal we're not going this week. 25-degree weather is no fun. Maybe we see lesser rating, but I haven't received our press credentials in the mail yet, but they've been approved. So that'll be fun to take advantage of the press box at Keeneland, which is kind of a fun place to be.
No, I'm very much looking forward to the trip, Bill. I've never been to Keeneland, so I'm really looking forward to it. I want to, you know, try to take a walk around one morning, the University of Kentucky, and soak in the whole town. So it's really something I'm looking forward to.
Right. We also have an appointment at one of the stud farms too. So that's Saturday morning. So that's good. So we can get up early before the races, go out and see the stud farms as well. To the extent that this broadcast was spotty, I apologize. Again, it's just lack of technical people with it's just Bob and I. I hope it's all taped, and I hope it all goes out. Bob, it's an hour show, but I think we covered most of everything. I can't think of anything we missed.
No, listen, I think we covered all the critical races. Hopefully the weather holds up in Kentucky because that's just a dynamite card at Keeneland. And it's another great Saturday of watching and handicapping top races, and we'll review and then we'll go over them again next week.
Excellent. All right, everybody. Bob, with that, I'll play the music and we'll be out. And, I hope this came through for everybody again. If it didn't, Bob, it was just a conversation between you and I, but that's all right, too. I enjoyed it. And, we'll speak over the weekend. Thanks, everybody.
Very good, Bill.